This show is sponsored by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and with Chris, we're back at the Paracast. And you know, we've had so many great shows lately. We keep thinking we can't top that, but as you'll hear later, I think we've topped it once again. Now, as you might know, we're getting lots and lots of comments about Ray Stanford and his appearance on the Paracast on May 18th. And of course, some of those are basic demands that Stanford disclose what he has, because he's getting on in years, and if he doesn't do that now, when is he going to do it? In fact, I wonder about this, and I didn't want to be morbid about it, Chris. Does he have a game plan there of what's going to happen if he's no longer around? Would his wife release the information? What would he do?
You know, that's a really good question, Gene. I really can't, in all honesty, answer that emphatically. I really don't know. I've never really broached the subject with him. The only time his mortality has come up is in the context of Ray. The clock is ticking. You know, you don't have an infinite amount of time here to get this information out. And I've constantly been cheerleading him to finally put an end to his analytical process and really concentrate on getting this information out to peer review. But, you know, I think it's a very valid point. You know, what is going to happen to this incredible, you know, treasure trove of historical data, meticulously documented, I might add. You know, I think his wife maybe would be the executor of any sort of, I'm just going on an assumption here, I don't know this, but I would assume that Sheila would be in charge of disseminating his work, and also the one of the most incredible collections of pre-Columbian art, meteorites, obviously the largest collection of dinosaur trace evidence ever found. His house is a museum, and it really deserves a wing in a museum somewhere. And he has mentioned in the past that much of his physical collection will probably end up in some sort of a museum or a wing of some museum, that sort of thing. And justifiably so. I mean, just walking to his house is, you know, I mean, it doesn't matter where you look. There's just incredible artifacts and art and just you name it. I mean, he has so many dinosaur tracks in his house. He has pathways to get from rooms to rooms because there's so many of them displayed. And I mean, it's quite amazing what the man has accomplished in the many years that he's been diligently, you know, working his various passionate subjects in his research. And I think it's important that obviously there's some sort of game plan in place for, you know, the obvious time when he's going to not be here to be the one that's going to be in control of it. So it's a very valid question. I think the time is probably ripe now. I think he's turning 76 or 77 here in June. So, you know, that's a subject that needs to be broached.
You know, I think about mortality because of the fact that my brother-in-law, Stephen, that's Stephen Beiser, and he was a guest on the Paracast as an expert in currency back in 2009 when we were talking about monetary conspiracies, and he's contracted pancreatic cancer. And the prospects look pretty favorable. I hate to be overly optimistic or pessimistic. We're just kind of hedging our bets. He's undergoing therapy and everything. He's gone to one of the best hospitals in the nation, the Mayo Clinic, one of the facilities in Arizona, so we hope things will be okay. But he's 67, and he's facing what is obviously a life-threatening illness. And now we've got Ray Stanford, who's in his late 70s. He's had heart problems, correct?
Yeah, he has.
Okay, so I just hope, if Ray is listening, please, man, you got this information, disclose it. I mean, some of our listeners are already expressing skepticism, as they have every time Ray's been on the show.
I think you're being kind, Gene.
Well, I am trying to understate the obvious. They're skeptical because there are a lot of people in a lot of fields, particularly in the paranormal field, they claim to have evidence of one sort or another, and they never seem to get around to disclosing it. There's always a reason. But we realize that Ray has disclosed some of it, so it's high time, and we're seeing more and more of what he says to be correct. So when it comes to paleontology, for example, the Washington Post did a story about him a couple of years back about his amazing ability to find things that professional scientists cannot find.
Right.
We have the fact that he was criticized at one point, Ray, for this question about what was the real insignia on the Sicaro, New Mexico UFO. And it's now been confirmed, as Ray stated, with government documents that it was the decision of the Air Force investigators to change it, partly because they didn't want to have that fuel fake UFO cases.
Exactly.
On the other hand, in retrospect, it was a ridiculous decision because has there been another UFO anywhere with an insignia that resembles either the fake one or the real one?
Not to my knowledge, but that doesn't mean that they're not out there. You know, we can't be aware of every description of every UFO event. But to my knowledge, no, there have been some that were close, but none exactly as stated by Zamora.
Yes, it seems when you try to put things that he says to the test, you know, he comes up looking pretty good.
He does. Of course, there's also lots of questions about his past when he was surrounded by a lot of people that really felt that he was gifted with certain insights and in one sense of the word, psychic abilities. And I think in the late 60s, he started to fall out of that and really began to concentrate more on gathering physical evidence and scientific evidence that could be studied and possibly provide diagnostic insight into propulsion systems and that sort of, you know, avenue of investigation and research. But yeah, I mean, you know, I was involved in a rock and roll band in New York, and I did some things that I probably, you know, wouldn't be proud of to talk about. Does that mean that those events and maybe bad choices that I made 40 years ago, should that be held against me today? Should that, you know, in some way impugn my work in stalking the herd, you know, about the cattle mutilation phenomenon? No. No, we all ebb and flow through the times that we live in. And if someone has a particular, you know, heightened abilities for perception, for visual acuity and those sorts of things, if I had those abilities, I'd probably be dressed in a blue turban, speaking in a, you know, a fake Pakistani accent, you know, pontificating about all sorts of end of the world scenarios and whatnot. So, you know, you can't.
Swami Chris, we got Swami O'Brien. How about that? Swami O'Brien, or give you some kind of more exotic name. O'Brien is a pretty conventional name.
You put your brain in the bull? Yes, no?
You know, the people here who are listening, who are of Indian descent, are going to be upset. We live in such a politically correct society now. In the old days, you can do an accent of any race, ethnic group. It didn't matter. As long as it's in the spirit of good fun and respect, we accept it. Now, who knows? Listen, today we have quite a guest. I know you were talking to me about his background, and I thought we had five shows here. So in the remaining minute of this segment, tell us more about George Wingfield.
Well, you know, I don't know. The man is an enigma. He's a very well-educated Englishman who was one of the first real crop circle researchers in the 80s with Colin Andrews, Pat Delgado, and a handful of others. He's soured on that particular field of inquiry and has maintained a presence for at least 25, 30 years at the Eureka Springs Conference every year. But I don't think he's ever written a book. I don't think he's contributed material to books. He co-authored, I think, a book fairly recently on UFOs. But the man is an enigma. I think the more time goes, you know, water goes under the bridge, the more, how would I put this, the more he becomes like you and me, Jane. He's very, very doubtful about the claims of certain individuals in the field that have gotten a lot of press. So we're going to have a fun time. George has been there and been taking notes for a long time.
You know what? Let's have him open up his notebook and tell us more. George Wingfield coming up next with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
Adam Miller here with Midas Resources. Today, May 21st, 2014, gold opened at $1,288.50. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,335.40, $667.70 for a half ounce, or $333.85 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,335.40, $667.70, and $333.85.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled T-E-R-A-G-A-N-I-X.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganics. Life's getting better.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We welcome to the Paracast for his first appearance on the show, George Wingfield. Welcome to the Paracast, George.
Hi, Gene.
I was looking here over your background, and you've been in lots of elements in terms of paranormal research. And I don't know, I have a pretty crazy background myself, and we were talking about Chris's background as a musician before he got involved in the Mysterious Valley research and such. But can you tell us how you got involved in these very unusual subjects?
I got involved because I got involved with the crop circles back in 1987. And I was very fascinated. I spent a lot of time trying to figure out what was going on and what this was all about. I have a science background, and I was coming from that point of view. I met all sorts of different people who wanted to explain the crop circles in various different ways, such as UFOs and a lot of new age interpretation of the crop circles and things of this kind. And I researched the crop circles for about, let me see, for about 6 or 7 years. And I came to the conclusion in 1994, that's exactly, 20 years ago, that the crop circles in England were almost entirely made by people. And I found the names of many of the people who were making them. They made them secretly, of course. And I wrote an article way back then, 1994, giving details of what I'd uncovered. And after that, I didn't really do very much more with the crop circles. I left the crop circles alone after about 1996. I left them alone and became interested in other subjects, such as UFOs.
Okay, with crop circles, you then felt that that was a resolved issue.
Well, let's put it this way. I don't give you a blanket solution for anything. I won't give you a blanket solution for crop circles, for UFOs, for cattle mutilations. But I will say that, in my opinion, you know, 95% of crop circles, maybe 99%, I can't put an exact figure on it, are man-made. And I'll leave it at that, and I'm not particularly interested in that subject anymore. We can talk some more about it if you like. And then when it gets to UFOs, that's much more complex, and there are very many different aspects to that and different kinds of UFOs, and we could take up a whole 2 or 3 or more hours talking about UFOs. With the cattle mutilations, I sent you an article which I'd written, saying that, in my opinion, the vast majority of the mutilations are perfectly explainable. And the reason people haven't understood previously, because they've made the assumption that whatever killed the wretched animal also mutilated it. That's simply not true. It may apply to some cases, but in general, it's a different agency which mutilates the carcass to whatever killed the beast. And this makes a huge difference in understanding what's going on.
All right. So you raise the response there in general terms. So, okay, who is killing the cattle and who is mutilating the cattle?
All right. Two separate questions. This is fine. Depending on where you are and what year you're in, I could produce a pie chart. Now, I don't have accurate figures, but there are, I think I listed 12 possible reasons for the cattle deaths. And number one reason was natural causes, which could be disease or heart failure or so on. There are a lot of things. I could discuss all of those. Then there are predator attacks. That accounts for quite a number of cattle killed. Then there are criminal killings, which may be done by delinquents or hunters who can't find any deer to shoot, things of this kind. People do shoot cattle. And I think possibly even the military shoot cattle. But, okay, and then there are other reasons for shooting cattle, which I have discussed, and possible sampling programs. I don't see any reason at all to believe that the aliens are killing cattle and mutilating them.
Oh, I'm glad I heard you say that, George.
Well, one of the reasons I'm here is that I've agreed to come on the Paracast because I feel that I should speak up for the aliens. For 40 years, they've got a really bad rap, and they've been accused of killing and mutilating thousands of cattle all over America by certain people. You can think who's made this accusation. And at the same time, I think I ought to speak up for Satanists. The Satanists of America wish to say they've also been accused of these terrible mutilations of cattle, and there is no truth in these accusations.
Well, yeah, I think we're getting the cart ahead of the horse here a little bit. Before we dive into the mutilation mystery,
Let me add one thing.
Okay.
This is a confession. I must confess that I have mutilated cattle myself. And I step forward and I plead guilty
to
cattle mutilation in the state of Arizona. And if you want to ask me about that, I'll tell you all the details.
Well, I mean, you can't dangle that one in front of us and not have us immediately follow up with that. So when were you in Arizona and why on earth were you mutilating cattle?
Besides
going to your local McDonald's here in Phoenix or something.
No, I wasn't murdering a Big Mac in the local McDonald's, not in that sense. No, I was mutilating real living cattle. And the reason being was that back in 1988, which is the year I first came to this country. I am British, of course, as I think quite a few people realize. I came to America. I worked for IBM in Dallas, Texas. And I then took quite a long vacation touring around Arizona. During some of this, I stayed with my cousins who ran a big cattle ranch, pretty well dead center of the state of Arizona. And there I had my brief career as a cowboy. It was very brief. It was intentionally brief. And
George, that's a scary thought. You as a cowboy.
Me as a cowboy. Well, I bought bought all the kit, the boots, the belt, the hat, the everything in Dallas, Texas. And I thought I really ought to do this. And since my cousins ran this ranch, I said, right, here am I. I'm volunteering as a cowboy. And I tell you, they got us up to go out on roundup, which I did a few times, 5 o'clock in the morning. And you had, you're riding these beat up old horses, Western style. I was dressed in all the right kit and I went out and spent all day rounding up cattle in the desert. Now in central Arizona, this is a place called Bloody Basin, which is on the Verde River.
Just south of where I am, George.
Where are you?
I'm in Camp Verde.
You're in Camp Verde? Oh my
yes.
God. I know Camp Verde. Well, I have no idea you're in Camp Verde.
Bloody Basin is just up and over the hill from me.
All right. Okay. Well, to get to, you may know the ranch. To get to the ranch where I was a cowboy.
We also want to find out more about this in our next segment, how you mutilated cattle.
Okay.
And why you didn't get caught. We have George Wingfield joining us. Lots more to cover with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@webtv.net. That's MrUFO@webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at LegalShield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Springtime is saved big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know spring is the time to stock up at HerbalHealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for spring specials, including our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia and Metabolic Complex, and Pro Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Warwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for spring at HerbalHealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to HerbalHealer.com and click on Spring Specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy.
Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
All right, okay. So George Wingfield worked at a ranch near where Chris is living now, but they never met in those days.
Okay, I'll tell you the name of the ranch is Horseshoe Ranch, and to get there you take a turning off I-17, pretty well, I think at Bumblebee is where you turn. I don't know if you know Bumblebee.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you turn off onto a gravel road there, and you drive about 25 miles into the desert. And the ranch, big ranch, is on the banks, on the bank of the Verde River. And that was where I did my cowboy stuff. And having rounded up cattle, there were certain things the cowboys had to do. There were several of us, and we got them all in a big stockade. We drove them down a chute, sort of metal gangway, clamped them to keep them still, and then we had three tasks to do. First of all, I'd brand them, the red hot branding iron. Next, you would inject them with a huge hypodermic, absolutely huge. It was about probably 18 inches long and 4 inches in diameter. It had a lot of stuff in it, antibiotics and stuff. And the third task was to clip their horns off. Now, you have a huge pair of sharp shears, and these poor animals, you clip both horns off until you've really got a flat stump, and the blood pours out of the roots of the horns. Okay, well, this is mutilating cattle in two different ways, certainly, branding them and clipping their horns off. Yeah, those poor beasts. I can tell you, they hollered and they bellowed, and the noise was unbelievable. The smell was unbelievable. The hiss of the branding iron and the smell of burning flesh. And the poor beasts must have thought they were being murdered or tortured in the most barbaric way. That's mutilation. And so I do have some background in the beef industry, if you like that.
Yep, as do I, George. I helped out every year dehorning, inoculating, castrating, and branding the herd.
Well, sure. Castrating is one of the things I didn't do. I wasn't around at the right time for that.
Yeah, but, that's right.
Basically, these cattle, they were bought from down in Mexico, just over the border, and they were trucked up to Bushy Ranch, and they were on the ranch probably for about a year. And you had one steer on 10 acres. How about that? There's an awful lot of land out there called Intermediate Desert. There's enough food for them to find to live okay up there. But, onto the cowboy bit. My cowboy career was very brief, intentionally. There were several unexplained animal deaths on the ranch. I didn't actually see any at that time back in 1988. I didn't really know much about this subject. There were, and mutilations resulted. It was thought that the unexplained animal cattle deaths were caused by a mountain lion, and that's almost certainly correct in that instance. Okay, other places, other cases, it might have been something else. It's not always a predator. There are a lot of illnesses too. And one or the other, just before we leave that one, I said every single steer was injected with this huge sort of mix out of a big hypodermic, which contained a lot of antibiotic. And that may have killed many steers, because the antibiotic can clear out a lot of the bacteria from the large intestine, and that would allow something called Clostridium to go mad in there and bring on terrible condition, which could, a lot of, you know, diarrhea and pain and nausea.
Yeah, depending on which of the 19 forms of Clostridia happened to be opportunistic at the time.
That's right. And certain cattle seem to be completely impervious to it. Others suffer terribly and even die.
But the thing you're talking about here is not so much what we would call mutilation, but you're just talking about what ends up being a way to abuse cattle in the way we handle them and prepare them for slaughter.
That's true. But I'm also saying...
Well, he's also talking about, possible explanations for
sure
the 2% of all cattle on the planet, 1.37 billion. 2% of them die every year from various causes. And Clostridia is a real major cause of death in the cattle industry, especially in the Southwest.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I think during the 70s, there was something like 150 million cattle in America. Nowadays, about 80 million. An awful lot of these are in feedlots and stockyards. But if you consider the rest who are out on the range or in pastures all over the country, the wastage rate, for whatever reason, is perhaps 1%, maybe 2%. I don't know. That's an awful lot of carcasses which you're going to find
correct
out on the range. And my other point is, I said, okay, the mutilations are separate. And I believe very firmly that most of the mutilations can be explained by avian scavengers, and in particular vultures.
So why do we have people who think there's some kind of paranormal explanation that maybe E.T. is doing it?
Well, I think because, and obviously it's a mystery, you go out in some remote pasture and there is a carcass. And very often, if it's been there for any length of time, if it's been there for even 12 hours, not just 24 hours, it's mutilated. And the mutilations are done by birds, mainly vultures.
Well,
I think that's
but vultures, also raptors, magpies are a big one in the Rocky Mountains.
Sure.
There's various animal, feathered creatures that are obviously opportunistic and look for, an easy snack. And, of course, the first way they're going to attack the animal is in, attack the soft tissue organs.
That's right. Absolutely right. Sure. And the vultures in particular, which are big, big birds, they have a 6-foot wingspan, the turkey vultures. They sort of cruise, they glide endlessly on thermals very high up. As soon as they see a fresh corpse, a carcass, they will go right down for to get stuck into eating the soft tissues, you say. And yep. Very often, there are several of them at a time. It might be 5 or 6.
Well, there's, if there's one, there's going to be 2. If there's 2, there's going to be 10, basically.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely right.
Yeah, but again, George, you know, anyone out there in the audience that's, you know, has any sort of interest in this subject, especially those who have read my book, Stalking the Herd, understand that there is a natural process that occurs in nature when an animal dies out on the range. And
sure.
If an amateur comes along and sees what is fairly mundane scavenger action, it appears high strange, especially if they've read an article in the paper stating that there's cattle mutilations in our neck of the woods here. And
that's
so that
right.
has a tendency to, you know, to get people looking and people that aren't veterinary pathologists, that don't have the training are not aware, you know, in toto what they're seeing. So yes, that does explain a sizable percentage of cases. I'll be the first one to admit that. And I've been saying this for many years, of course. You know, we could get into the whole subject of why certain individuals in the field have used this particular mystery as a sensational way to create headlines and create a career. Did I say that, Gene?
I think you said it, and I think we're going to run out of time with this segment, but I'd like to pick up on that in our next segment, maybe, George, where let's talk about it. Let's name the names of the people who have glommed on to the subject of cattle mutilations. And that the fact is they are exploiting it for their own gain, not to solve a mystery. Let's get into that. Next segment with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast. Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Imagine an acne treatment breakthrough that even Proactiv says is better than Proactiv. Announcing all new Proactiv Plus, the revolutionary new way to clear your skin from the number one name in acne care. Proactiv Plus is our best, most effective solution ever. And when you call 1-800-721-4255 today, you can have it tomorrow. Proactiv Plus is the modern acne miracle that treats your skin beautifully. The Plus means more. More precise, targeted medicine for faster, gentler acne prevention. And more skin-loving solutions so your complexion can look bright and beautiful.
I am just so happy with Proactiv Plus. I don't think my skin has ever looked this good.
Call 1-800-721-4255. Be one of the first to try Proactiv Plus. Guaranteed 100% risk-free. You won't see this limited-time offer on TV. It's a radio exclusive. 1-800-721-4255. 1-800-721-4255.
Americans have always been ready to defend,
to serve and to honor those who defended and are defending all of us. So this month, the Freeze-Dry Guy honors and serves Americans with our meat, rice, and potato sale. Our unit includes four number 10 cans of quality Mountain House cooked diced beef, ground beef, diced chicken, white rice, and two cans of FDG dehydrated diced potatoes. 158 servings per case unit. And during the Freeze-Dry Guy's meat, rice, and potato sale, get one case for only $179, two cases for only $355, or get three cases for only $515. And all come with lots of valuable freebies. For details, click freezedryguy.com and hurry. Sale ends soon. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD. Plus, free shipping to the lower 48 states from the Freeze-Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Ouch! My back is out again!
Hi, Dr. Ortman with Wellspring Spinal Care. If you're experiencing neck, mid, or lower back pain, this information is for you. One of the complaints that I hear is patients receive their typical adjustment, only having to repeat them as the pain returns. Putting the bones back in place is only half of the battle. At Wellspring Spinal Care, we have the entire solution. We use the NUCA approach, utilizing three-dimensional x-rays and gentle touch technology to deliver specific correction. We then design a custom nutritional supplement program which provides essential nutrients targeting the areas of concern. With a NUCA approach and proper nutrition, you'll be on your way to a faster and more permanent recovery. To get you on the road to wellness, visit drortman.com. That's drortman.com. Or call us today, 952-303-9124. That's 952-303-9124. Wellspring Spinal Care, chiropractic done right.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, so when it comes to cattle mutilations, the point being here is that you can find conventional explanations all over the place, but some people say it's some kind of unknown paranormal phenomenon. It's creatures from another dimension. It's the UFO people. Let's name the names, George. Why are they doing this, and who are they?
Obviously, the first name up is Linda Moulton Harp. She's been putting this over for ever since 1983. And I got that right? Yes, 1983. Where are we now?
1979, A Strange Harvest.
Yeah. A Strange Harvest and An Alien Harvest and subsequent books by her, which have taken this direction. Funny enough, I've got a... But you say, well, where did she get this idea from? Well, I can tell you exactly where she got it from. She got it from a pretty sort of dubious character called Richard Doty, who was an AFOSI man in Albuquerque, New Mexico. That's Air Force Office of Special Intelligence, I think. Have I got that right?
Well, you know, it might be intelligence in that case is an oxymoron.
Linda, when she first started covering this back in the late 70s, the first person she called was Tom Adams, and I think the second person she called was David Perkins, your very good friend who you've known for many years.
Right.
And it wasn't until later in the 80s that Linda got involved in what we've discussed on a number of occasions here at the Paracast, some disinformation programs. Let's talk about Tom Adams and her original investigative work back in 78, 79, when she was a environmental news reporter for, I think it was the CBS or NBC affiliate in Denver.
Can I just give you, first of all, a quote, a two-line quote out of Linda's book, An Alien Harvest? She says, Doty claimed the government and ETs have made an agreement. The aliens could conduct animal mutilations and human abductions in exchange for teaching U.S. experts about alien advanced technologies. Part of the government's deal was to provide the ETs land for a base.
We can spend a whole year just talking about Richard Doty.
Sure. Well, he's a crook. And
if we're going to say this to somebody, because we don't want to get involved in anything that might become legal, why do you say he's dishonest?
Well, this was quite clearly now. You can look at it in great detail. This was disinformation, deliberately fed to various sort of UFO researchers and people at that time. He was working with a guy called Robert Collins. We don't hear much about Robert Collins. They appeared on TV, I think, Doty and Collins as Condor and Falcon. There's a lot of, it wasn't just Doty, but he was the tip of the iceberg, which was generally unseen. And this information was fed to Paul Benovitz, and William Moore worked with Doty and helped him disseminate disinformation.
George, we've covered this many times on the Paracast. We've had Greg Valdez on, Greg Bishop, who
All right.
of course wrote the great book Project Beta about the Benovitz case. But I'm wondering about an article that I remember reading by Brother Blue, talking about the aviary, and he mentioned a whole list of names: Ron Pandolfi, who was the head of the science and technology desk for the CIA, of course Kit Green, John Alexander, C.B. Scott Jones. But in the article, you're mentioned as a possible member of the aviary as well. Dan Smith corrected, I think, Brother Blue and said, oh, no, George Wingfield is Nightingale. What was your response to that? I've never heard you actually comment on that.
He's right insofar as I'm a member of the aviary. My name was Mockingbird. But various people wanted to make me Nightingale, and somewhere out there on the internet is a long sort of discussion as to whether I'm Mockingbird or Nightingale.
Regardless of whether you're Mockingbird, Nightingale, or anything else, how did you get involved with this?
How did I get involved with it? It was because when I first got involved with the crop circles, I came to this country. I gave quite a number of lectures on crop circles, and of course UFOs were into that mix at the time. And I was in, in Washington, D.C. in 1992, April. First time I'd ever visited Washington, D.C., and arrangements were made for me to meet a number of gentlemen from the CIA, the chief of which was Ron Pandolfi, otherwise known as the Pelican. And I wasn't actually initiated into the aviary, but in a very joking fashion, I said, well, of course, I'm Mockingbird. And people took that on, or whether anything came from that, I don't know. I went to lunch with these five CIA men, and I took a picture of them, which is bad practice, and it was not expected. And I think that's been published on the internet many years later. I have a picture. And they were interested in, I thought they were going to be interested in crop circles, which is why I'd been asked, but they weren't particularly interested in crop circles at all. They were interested in the people involved. They were interested in UFO people. They talked about Condor and Falcon, and this was their main sort of focus as far as I could see.
I could really take off on this one. While you were in D.C. in 92, didn't you have a daylight sighting of a UFO?
Absolutely. It was a number of UFOs, and it was there were other witnesses with me. There were two more with me. I even took a photograph of the first UFO to appear, which was high in the sky. But this was definitely a UFO in the normal sense of the word. It wasn't an airplane or a satellite or a bird or anything like that. It was a UFO. I'm still puzzled to this day exactly what it was, and I can't say for certain that it was a craft or even any physical object. I mean, we're going off at a tangent here, but we can cover that another time if you want. But
you know, I wanted to get back to the aviary here, okay? Because supposedly these people were involved in government disinformation efforts related to UFOs. So if you're part of the group, can we say you're involved in disinformation or were?
No, you can't say that. I'm not really part of the group. The group was more of a joke in handing out names to various people who were looking at all this sort of stuff in the UFO area. And I think William Moore was one of the ones who made up quite a lot of the names. A lot of people got a name. John Alexander got a name. But
I find it interesting that you should be Mockingbird, and you've been digging into the dirt in this field for 25, 30 years. I find it very interesting that that's the name that that you have attached to your own involvement.
I gave myself the name Mockingbird because I saw the amusing side of some of this and the craziness of it all at that early stage. And I tell you what, before that UFO sighting, I remember it so well. I remember it to this day, and it's most peculiar. And I will probably write a book about this at some later stage. But that happened on April 13th, 1992, right over the Washington Monument. Exactly 2 or 3 days earlier, I'd been at a UFO conference in Atlanta, Georgia, and for the very first time, I had met John Alexander, General Stubblebine, Ed Dames, and all those characters. And they talked about psychotronic warfare. It suddenly occurred to me that this UFO sighting might have been someone playing games with my head with some beam weapon from a distance. I have no way of proving that, and I have no reason to think that. But
that brings up the name Kit Green. Kit Green,
I never met. Kit Green had, he was the predecessor of Ron Pandolfi at the UFO desk. They didn't call it that, I forgot what they call it, at the CIA.
Technology.
Science and technology, that's right. So isn't that weird? This all happened in just within a few days.
Yeah, it's also the location where Ray Stanford has had quite a number of very sensational sightings that he's been able to document in greater or lesser ways, depending on the event. You know, this whole idea of the aviary and, you know, some of the cast of characters that, you know, you hear about. Of course, you mentioned John Alexander, Richard Doty, Robert Collins. Jack Verona is another one that not many people, I think, out there are aware of, or Jamie Shandira.
Coming next week on the PowerCast, we'll be featuring Ted Rowe of NARCAP, and we'll be covering some of the key sightings that the organization is investigating. We'll get into more details about this aviary and its members in our next segment. With George Wingfield joining Gene and Chris, you're in
the PowerCast.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.